Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. Footy's on the radio. And your front row.
For the Fiat Ducato with up to 15 cubic metres of cargo capacity. Move with more grunt.
Welcome to the Saturday Rub.
For Macca's Little Wins app.
Triple M rocks footy.
Saturday afternoon football at the home of our great game, the Triple MCG, Richmond and Collingwood. We're going to talk about before Melbourne and Hawthorn. The big game on a Saturday afternoon. It's going to be a beauty, and I look around the room, very, very excited people to be here on a Saturday. The big prizes. First here, I saw the big chariot down in the car park. I knew he was ready, the big man, to go.
I got here early today.
I can see.
Because I have got something to say today.
Oh, I know. I'm looking forward to that, Damo. Nice form always. Hello, Purple.
Hello, Jimmy. Was very early today. Even before 11 o'clock, wasn't it? Yeah,
ready to go.
The Olympics is only once every four years, yes. But I didn't care because this was far more important.
Spud's here. Nice to see you, Spud.
Oh, great to be here. Obviously, Danny Green's camp, which I was a part of on Wednesday night. That was a great night, and geez, it was a good experience, Jobo.
Shut up, Spud.
We may as well, because we're going to talk. I don't want any Richmond or Collingwood fan to think we're going to ignore your game of footy, because we're not. We're going to give it a good working over, but Bristol.
Oh, look, I would have thought, JB, we're all relatively modest in this room.
No.
We are.
We all understand in the game that it's about the athlete, and it's about giving them room to operate and prepare. You know, you highlight the player, you highlight the athlete, and you've done your job in our business if you do all of that. You don't ever in our business, Damo, get front and centre. Yep. Never, ever. Yes, Spud, you're invited to the fight. But only to sit, mate.
Invited himself.
Yes. Yeah. No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
So Angelo did.
So here we go. Let's go through the night. So in the rooms. Oh, well, you get invited into the rooms. You would sit in the corner out of the way in preparation when Danny's given the spar and the quick flixer. No, you're standing front and centre, right in the view of the camera. The camera's taller than you, Spud. You would have known that you were right in the background. Every time Danny turned left, you went there with him just to make sure you're in shot. Then the walk to the ring as part of the clan, the entourage, the heavies, the followers, the insiders. You were there. And then surely, Spud, you would have gone and taken your seat and sat down perhaps a few rows back from the front. No! You climb into the ring.
No way.
What for?
No.
And I'm waiting.
He wasn't in the ring.
He's going to be the cut man. Oh, he's going to be the coach. No, he's handing the towel to the cut man. Here, cut man, have the towel.
Angelo was, he's trying to.
Spud, you are like a dag on a sheep's bum,
yes.
Like a fly to poo. You're like a pilot fish. You're like a barnacle on an old ship. You just won't let go. You've turned into a full-on wanker, and you remind me of Turtle Off Entourage. You are now the greatest ever hanger on in history. You've become an embarrassment to yourself, your family, and you're now affecting our relationship, Spud. Danny Green knows all about you, but he doesn't give a stuff about you, Spud. He didn't want you there. We overheard you last weekend begging to be there.
You did.
Danny rang me during the week and said,
what do I do?
I said, mate, just give him a seat. Just give him a
seat.
He said, but he wants to follow me everywhere.
I know.
Spud, you have embarrassed all
no,
of us.
No, I have not.
And you have completely lost the plot.
We had Swanee on last night, Bristol. He was at the fight, said the same thing. He said, I don't understand what Spud was doing. He was handing the towel to the towel man.
Yeah.
Whose job is to hand the towel on.
Oh, I've never seen such a flog in
Spud,
my life.
Do you not get embarrassed?
No, Spud? I don't, because my sheer presence there was enough to get him over the line.
When you just folded the ropes apart and you're about to step in, did you not think,
what am I doing?
No, I probably knew you would have been looking at you, JB, probably. That's what I did think of. I thought, am I overstepping the mark here?
That's akin to going on the green stuff.
It's worse.
That's worse.
Well, I'm allowed
it's worse.
To. When you spill blood out there.
It's a lot worse than that.
No, it's...
going into the ring in a title fight.
Get things in.
I must have been going in the ring. I probably shouldn't have went in the ring.
You've lost your sense of perspective, of reality.
Oh, no.
And you're just a low feeder now.
No, I'm not, Brian.
People are thinking all sorts of funny things about you, Spud.
No,
you're a fly on a poo, Bristol.
No. It was one of the great nights, and that's all I'll say. Very good to be there.
The amount of people. My phone, I'm just sitting at home. My phone was just bouncing on the table. People sending me photos of Spuds.
I was sent a video from Snorkel of the action in the rooms where Spud was deliberately getting in the
shot.
The back shot of the camera.
Can we get Danny Green on later on just to sort of verify what I did? Seriously.
Well, we need to, Spud.
No, well, he'll set the record straight.
Yeah, he will.
Well, what did you do?
Well, let him talk about it. I'm not, because if I say anything here, you three guys will laugh.
Oh, look at last Saturday in the Triple M studio after Danny Green left the interview. Go up and ask and demand the right to be in the ring.
No, I did not.
I heard you.
I heard you.
He's told us you did.
And then backed it up with a strong request.
Angelo came over to me, his trainer, and said, "I want you beside me."
In reality, mate, if you get asked by a super athlete to come along and have a seat at a fight, you don't then get on his back and anchor yourself to him in the warm-up. All the big heavies coming out in the ring, bouncing around, arms on the shoulders in front, and you're coming through like a full-on gang of heavies.
Oh, no.
And then get into the ring. You would have peeled off and taken your seat.
You'd think.
You flogged it up big time.
Spud.
Mate. That's just the way I roll now, mate.
I cannot believe what I saw.
But the breath, just to come out of the pores of my skin, he was rapt to see me in there. I spoke to his father.
No, he wasn't. I think he's going to come on
his
and tell us.
His father was there. His brother that you played footy with.
This is the thing, Bristol. I have known Danny Green for 25 years. Brendan Green and I played footy together. Greeny rings me and says, "JB, come in the rooms when you come to the fight." Never have. Because you don't do it, Spud. You leave that space to the athlete.
Spud,
you sit in the crowd.
We actually have a relationship with Danny. We actually know him and his family.
You've arrived in the last minute.
The Orient Express has pulled into Port Phillip Bay and you've come from the bottom and you've just stuck your big body on the bottom of the ship and you've gone, "I'm with you, Orient Express."
Mate, I'm following you everywhere.
Did
you see him spar at 10 p.m. the last four or five nights before the fight?
But again, I was there when that...
You invited yourself to that as well. You did. I saw you speak to Angelo and you said, "What are you doing tonight?" And you said, "Can I come and watch?" And Angelo goes, "Oh, if you must."
Oh, he's clipping purple.
What about Spud? "Did you go to the 10 p.m. sparring session?" "Oh, that one that we're all invited to, Spud."
You don't know what physical fitness is, Brian. I told you.
You and I...
You've lost about 5 kilos and think you should... I
have got a ring at home. You and I will get in there and we'll have a chat. And I tell you, when I finish with you, I'll start with him.
You'll be like that bloke Watts. Tell us about the fight, because the referee had no idea for
start.
Forget
about the fights, bud.
He tried to headbutt Danny Green into a win. Like, seriously, the referee had no idea. It was like bear hug after bear hug.
Come on, Danny knew which way that one was going.
No, he didn't. Anyway.
We look forward to
Greeny coming on. We'll get to the bottom of exactly what Spud did, how long he hung around afterwards, detail we need to know.
Jesus.
But surely when...
I was representing the Triple M team.
When he takes on the man, Mundine, you will be nowhere near it, Spud.
You ask Danny himself.
You can't be anywhere near it at that point. Because that is a big fight. And we don't want you stuffing it up in any way, shape, or form.
He said, "I just relaxed a bit," because he was a bit nervous before the fight, thinking, "If I lose this, I don't get me big chance against Mundine.
This is akin to Damo going down here today, Melbourne and Hawthorn today, going to Alistair Clarkson and saying, and when they only get 10 passes to get their coaches on the ground, this is akin to him saying, "I'm going to take one of those passes so one of your proper coaches can't come out onto the ground." That is effectively what you did. So you robbed Danny Green.
Are you happy with that analogy?
You robbed... Well, he wouldn't think he's the coach.
Oh, well, hang on a minute. I was an elite sportsman watching another elite sportsman. This guy's a puny little bag of pus.
You're not an elite
boxer.
Spent
his career just typing on letters, and you can't use him as an analogy with me.
I'm comparing him to you.
It's him probably going to the World Congress Centre with all the leading reporters in the world or something, not an elite sportman seeing how another elite sportman does it in the pre-game.
That's how bad you have behaved.
No, I haven't behaved at all. I took a lot out of it, Brian.
What is it you think you offered?
This is interesting.
I'd like to know what you think before we speak to him.
I created a little sense of humour, a sense of calmness.
No, you need to find something else. Dig a bit deeper what you might have provided there, because that would not have been one of the things you might have done.
I wouldn't have thought
that's
Danny
what it was,
was,
mate. My presence when I walk in, you just saw everyone thought, oh, okay, we're on tonight.
The videos I saw, you felt as though you weren't part of it too.
Yeah, you did. You looked like you really didn't know what
like
you were
you
doing.
Like you at the Logies, a bit like that.
Yeah, very much like that.
You had the green machine.
But I have
shirt
to go
on
to Logies.
But it didn't seem right. There was no, he didn't have the jewellery or something. I don't know. It just didn't seem right.
Mate, I'm quite happy to cop it. You're just jealous, that's all.
Oh, but you didn't look like you had any clue what you were doing to me.
You felt on the elder.
I had a lot to do with it. I was a bit of a... Brian Rigg was a bit of a pugilist. I was the bare-knuckle
all
fighter.
All you boxing lot out there, get on Twitter and let us know what you think of this guy invading your territory.
Yeah. That's it. The Wolfpack, they'll be jumping
jealous
all over this. Don't
just
worry.
Just jealous
of
you guys.
Ad break.
Kane Pettifer, please tell us, because you are real now.
Yeah, no, he was good. He was very good. I think the guy sort of knew that he was in a bit of trouble.
No,
so
you don't think the guy knew he was in a bit of trouble. You knew the guy was in a little bit. Yeah. He knew he was in a little bit of trouble.
I think there might have been a little bit of a, you know, good on Kane for winning the fight.
Yes. Oh. Two zip and he's proved.
He's walked into a ring, put his reputation on the line and had a win, and you're saying that he knew he was going to win before
no,
he...
No, I didn't say that.
You were sort of saying
that. No, I had a look at the guy.
Kane, you need to text him.
No, Kane Pettifer's a ripper. That takes a lot of courage, mate. And that's the thing that I learned.
Well, it is, but you're just questioning the
result. I was going to actually say what it was like.
The legitimacy of the fight.
Danny Green's talking to his wife from Perth 5 minutes before he walks out.
He's letting personal stuff out of the room.
Now, this is it. You haven't now got involved in his personal phone calls, have you, with his wife?
But I just thought, this is real life stuff, Brian. He's going into a ring.
I reckon you were trying to drum up a relationship with him, Spud.
I've had a relationship with Danny Green for 20 years.
No, I'm thinking it's something
he wants
a
to be
more.
My friend. That's the thing. I thought I was doing the right thing by going in there.
I'd say 5 years at best.
Tape that. He wants to be my friend.
Can you tell?
And then he'll admit that.
Graciousness.
He'll admit that. He does. He wants to hang around me. And that's fair enough. I've only got a close circle of friends. I've let him in for a few occasions. Oh, probably the next time will be the mundane fight. I'll invite him in as well.
Fly on poo. No. That might be one of my favourites of the year. I absolutely love it.
Pilot
I knew there was something going on.
We'll move on from that. We'll get Danny Green on later and find out exactly what... So the green machine thought of your presence.
And young Will Murray's coming in to do.
Yes, looking forward to that.
JB, he's coming in to have a look at the call, help Chua and myself and Duck with a few special comments. He's got a great function at the Sandy Yacht Club tonight, and there's a website. Get on Twitter.
All right, we'll work that out. Nice, when Will comes in. Yeah. Last night, Purple and Bristle and Spud, we had a look at what I think it was 13th against 14th. Very nice response to start with, I thought, from the Richmond players, Damo, because they'd had a horrible week, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And they had a horrible first 20 minutes of the game, and it looked like it was absolutely heading towards a horrific train wreck. But they adjusted and got the job done, and that is a big tick for the 22 out there.
Yeah, and before we talk about the big picture, which we will do here, I think we do need to acknowledge what you just said, the 4-goal-to-none start, and then the way that Damien Hardwick, I think, coached was different to what he'd been showing for most of this season. He coached with a bit of encouragement to have flair, didn't he? The style of messaging to his players, and I think it really worked. And I think you're right to highlight that. It was a good night for Richmond Footy Club, but coming as it did at this stage of the season, leaving them with 8 wins only to this stage of the season, to me it doesn't change too much of the narrative around that.
Probably
big picture.
Not in a longer term sense, but in a night where the whole world was looking at them, I thought it was a nice response. And Dimmer, who's a very good footy person, deserves to have a bit of respite.
Yep.
I reckon.
And he gets it, doesn't he? For at least a week. And there's 3 games that remain, obviously, for Richmond, and they're tough games. If he can produce that style of footy, regardless of the win loss side of what happens in those 3 games, he will definitely be locked away as coach for next year. And Peggy O'Neill has already done that, at least publicly.
He's got 2 years, don't he?
Yeah. Yeah, but there is still some debate as to whether he goes around next year.
Debate? What is it?
Well, the debate is that the board, which is having this thorough review, and while it's saying publicly that he's there, is still yet to actually officially sign off 100% on him being coach.
I think he should be there. I think the review will end up finding that, and they've already been told, I think, the assistant coaches that they're in trouble, the ones that know, and there's a couple of them there. And I think the other thing they'll hone in on in that review, the results of it, you can almost predict it, is recruiting.
The big thing that I got out of the game, I'm not quite sure on both teams, to be brutally honest, long term. I think Richmond's still on the way down for me. And it was great, and well done to Dimmer. I need to ask a question of the players, why didn't they perform like that the week before? And I'll be really keen to watch them perform next week against Geelong.
Yeah.
It's okay to do it for a week, guys.
Yeah, that's right.
And respect your coach, but get fair dinkum. You're paid to play every week, not just 1 week when the hot poker's up your up your backside. You're paid to perform every week. And yes, well done to Damien Hardwick, but I'll be asking the question of the players, where were you last week? And I'll also ask the question, where have you been most of the year? Other than the four or five guys that continually perform, and one player in particular is Rance. I think he's the best player in the competition.
Oh, he's unreal.
He is the best player in the competition. If he's standing up next to Paddy Dangerfield and Lance Franklin up against a wall, and people say, oh, you're biased, you go for defenders, he is just a freak. He's actually now going into Scarlet territory, this guy, and I never thought I'd say that. I thought Scarlet and then before him, Silvani. But I think Rance, nearly he's got them both covered.
You're the number one ticket holder of the Scarlet camp, Jim. Yep. I think you picked him before others did in terms of putting him in the absolute elite. How do you go with that comment?
Yeah, I don't think he's as good as Scarlo because I think Scarlo was much more offensive with his ball use than Rance. Rance has tidied up his ball use. It was an issue earlier. It's not now. So, and he is a magnificent one-on-one defender. But I like Scarlet's offensive ball use. But he's the best defender in the comps, but I don't think he's the best player in the comp.
Right now, he's part of greatness is longevity as well. We've yet to see that. Yep. And also another part of it is success. We're yet to see that as well. Yeah. They're all components.
Bristol, but Spud's point about putting them up against the wall, I think that's very valid. I think a lot of people would take him as number one, wouldn't they? If they're up against the wall.
Oh, there's Dangerfield.
You're not
Franklin.
So sure?
I wouldn't yet, no.
Okay. No, well, I, as I said, I'm biased. If you get a gun defender, you're right for 10 years. You just don't even worry about it. You just shut your eyes and you just go and play 0-30. Don't care who you play on. If you haven't got one, ask a coach who hasn't got one. Spud, each week, they've got to get a different type of player for a matchup. Rance can play small, tall.
He's an absolute superstar. Yeah. He's a gun. There's no doubt. You mentioned about the pressure. Can they bring it every week and the effort? Yeah. And the thing that worries me about Richmond is they're number 18 in terms of tackles, one of the most obvious pressure points, if you like. So that means that it's not there every week.
No,
if
it's
they're
not
number
Brian.
18 in the comp.
No, it's not, Brian. And last night, forget the tackling, because I was really disappointed in Collingwood's inability to defend Richmond. And that's been Collingwood's big Achilles heel all year.
Yeah.
The last 4 weeks, they've been able to tackle their way through it, Brian, but 130 uncontested marks. Nathan Buckley would be filthy, absolutely filthy with their lack of effort after they kicked four goals. Probably happened too easy for Collingwood the first 8 minutes, and then Richmond hadn't even got their game going yet. They were always going to find something, the Tigers. But after they got those four goals, Collingwood, they were disgraceful in the defensive stakes. That is the poorest effort of defence I've seen from its side this year. That last 3.5 quarters, when they allowed Richmond to have 130 uncontested marks, I think but Nathan Buckley this week needs to go to his players. Any danger, you could get somewhere near a yellow and black jumper without a ski rope, not a leg rope, hip on hip at some stage, because that was just insipid performance. It really was after the first four goals.
The other thing, Bristol, with some of the reporting around Richmond's win last night that I don't get is people saying, well, again, it was the big four that dragged them over the line, talking about Martin and Cochin and Revolt and Rance. That's what your best players do. That's why they earn the money.
Yeah, that's right.
So you look at any team that wins a game of football, 9 times out of 10, it's because their best players play well.
They're supposed to be consistent.
Exactly right. I don't get that reporting. That's what they're there for.
No.
So you rely on them. Every team does.
There was a young kid there last night for the Tigers. Like you talk about, yes, that's the experience. But Marcon did a great job.
Yeah, he did.
Was it game two or something?
Yeah, he was a rebound.
And Markov's not a bad player either. Yeah, both of them Markov's.
A little not as composed as he should be when he's got the football in pressure situations, Markov, but still very impressive. But Markon, as a mature age, he was a ripper too.
We need to get to a break for the Fiat Ducato. You're listening to the Saturday Rub. Jared Roughhead's going to join us. Can't wait for Ruff. He's in here. Paul Ruse as well.
You?
Danny Green, we need to find out
we'll
what the hell
on.
Spud, if anything, did.
He'll tell the truth.
Getting in the way and making a real look at me. That was the thing about
it,
Spud. It was all about me.
It's
about me, and you got no knowledge of boxing, no knowledge of anything.
Is that right?
You just made a proper arse of yourself.
Danny thought you were going to be there to support him. No, he was wrong. You were there to support you.
Just talking about last night's game, of course, Richmond in the end outlasting Collingwood in a game, when you consider, Brian, that there was no wind at all and the surface at the MCG is superb.
Yep.
The skill errors, especially from Collingwood after quarter time, were extraordinary.
The kicking skill errors particularly, it was just amazing. It was absolutely staggering. And did you notice a lot of players slip over last night? I don't know whether it was the boot they were wearing.
It's this side of the ground, Brian.
Because the shady side.
The winter sun, it doesn't get to this side of the ground, the broadcast side, right across. So the outer side is quite good.
But the skills generally, Spud, I looked at the effective disposal, so I think it was under 50% at one stage for both sides. It was absolutely disastrous.
No, it wasn't. And you'll see a side today in Hawthorn, what the difference.
Yeah.
The chasm between the best kicking team
so
and
so what would
ordinary.
They hover at in terms of effective disposal, do you think, in percentage-wise? Would they be in the 70s?
Up around 80.
Yeah, Hawthorn, Hawthorn at 75. Well. You know, the league average is 66. And, you know, these sides last
but
night
they were
at some
biting
stage.
Off 45s. That was the problem with the Pies, is they were looking inboard and biting off 45-degree kicks and then missing them, but not just missing them, Spud. If live at the ground, which we were, they were missing them by 3 or 4 metres.
But that 45 kick is the toughest kick in football from half-back into the middle.
No, I get that. So and you can't miss it by that
but
much.
But my point to add to your what you're saying is correct, is that a lot of times it was the wrong guy taking that kick.
Ben Reid in the first quarter.
You just got to be careful.
Ben Reid kicked to a 4-1 on the 45. Now, he's a very good player and I'm a big rap for him, but he's not a Darren Jarman type kick. So don't try and go to that when there's congestion around, because that just went straight down, and I think Richmond kicked their second goal and got them on a run of play. But
so Nathan Buckley interests me then, Bristol, because he is as skillful a user of the football as I reckon we've seen in 20 years by foot. He must look at his blokes and, you know, a bit like Greg Chappell never understanding how anyone could drop a catch because he never did in his whole life. Bucks must look at it and go, how are you not able to do that?
As a professional.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot to be said in recruiting good kickers. You don't necessarily make good kickers. And I think Hawthorn have recruited and refused to let people through the door if they can't kick it.
Agreed.
And whereas other clubs get them in and think, oh, yeah, we can make them. I think you have a minimal improvement basis in any of the skills, whether it be...
From what age, BT?
We get them at 18, Warrior.
Your basic skills are set by the time you're 16, I reckon.
Right,
and the 18.
So once you're at 16, you can't improve significantly.
You can improve it.
I think you can improve the composure and the decision-making side of things. We saw Spud's nephew, James, in his very first year, trying to bite off too much, couldn't, and he took kicks he just couldn't make. The very next year, All-Australian. Why? Didn't improve his kicking. Everyone said, hasn't his kicking improved?
Improved his decision-making.
He improved his decision-making. He made kicks he could make.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, Purple, I go and watch my young bloke playing the under-11s, and you can tell at that age who can kick the footy.
Absolutely.
You can look at under-11 football, and you say, there are three or four kids out there you know can kick it.
You ran some footage on the footy show the other night.
Of Dell.
Of Nicky Dell.
Yeah.
Now, did that stand out at that level of under-12s or whatever it was?
Yeah. With Collingwood, Jim, look, as we know, every year Nathan Buckley's coached this team, they have finished in a lower position than the previous year. It goes back to 2012. The preliminary final that he took them to in that year was lower than the grand final the previous year, but every year has got lower again. Elimination final the next year, 11th in 2014, 12th in 2015. Right now they're 12th, and right now they're 8 wins, and that again is tracking for another lower result season upon the one previously. Yeah. Do we need to sort of put the focus back on where Collingwood's at? Because while the period of time since the bye of this season has been good for Collingwood, you still look at the ladder right now and they're 8 wins.
What I would love to do, because you know I'm a buyer where Nathan Buckley's concerned, I love what he represents, but I would love to sit down privately with him and go, where are you going? You know, like these next 3 years, where is that headed? Because you no first round pick, obviously, in this upcoming draft because of the Treloar trade, which, by the way, has been a success.
Yep.
You have to say that's worked.
That has.
So that he's been a big tick, but you're out of the first round of the upcoming draft. Who in your 18 to 22-year-olds has got genuine sizzle? Can you genuinely see coming up and being a 200-game, you know, pushing to an A-grader in the AFL in the next 5 years?
Yep.
That's what I don't know, only because I'm not a list manager at another club assessing Collingwood's list.
Yeah.
So I don't know enough about it. So I'd love to talk to him about where he sees quantum improvement coming out of this list, because when you just look at the names in the media guide, I can't see.
No, I'm a bit with you on that, but I, like you, don't delve into that space as heavily as others do in this game. But obviously Darcy Moore is an answer to that question.
Yeah, he's got
to
be really good.
And I think
Sidebottom and Pendlebury are A-graders. Treloar pretty much is, I reckon. Swanies, but isn't playing. Elliot probably pushes up to that.
And so I think Grundy's development this year has put him into that bracket too.
Three players, Tuvey, you've got
Goldsack,
and Frost. They were their three main defenders last year. They're now in the VFL. Now, they've had a few injuries, but they'll obviously be a bit nervous. I'm not sure whether they're in contract, but I'm sure that Collingwood will be looking at them maybe to beef up a draft pick. I think Nathan Buckley is a little bit like that, JB. I think he'd be looking at his list this morning. I think the big tick he'll get, but again, it poses the question of where's their core, is that the game of Wills, Smith and Ace last night were terrific. And they're youngsters. And I think Ace in particular He stepped through the door last week. I thought he played his best game. And then he's built some confidence. So I think a lot of criticism on him and the club for getting him, but I think that's going to nearly end up at the year, end of the year with a tick.
I was surprised at going his like that. Braveness that he showed last week.
Yeah, and that was the thing that he had to improve on. So he's obviously unconditional. He's been training with that, apparently, by going hard at the ball. It's a hard one to coach if you haven't got it, but he hasn't shown any signs of taking a short step.
What pick was Schoenberg, Damo?
He was 5 or 6.
He's a low pick that hasn't come good because of injury yet. So who knows what the upside is with him, and who knows whether he can get over the injury thing. The other thing to remember is they have 5 players this year that have missed most of the season, nearly all of the season, effectively.
Swan.
So 5 players. I'd have to get them
the two suspended
no,
guys.
No, no, no. I'm talking Elliot injury. I'm talking injury.
But there's doubts about them, aren't there, Jim? Like Swan last night, and we might have that. As in just the conversation we had with him, BT, while we talk about the future with Collingwood. This is Swan last night on the time frame around his decision on the future.
Before the end of the year's out. Yeah,
The footy season
year? To be fair to the footy club as well, I'm not going to hang around until October, and then they obviously have to make list management decisions, and obviously I'm not going to play for nothing if I go on, so salary cap issues and stuff like that. So, and obviously if I do decide to hang them up, I want to go away and I want to hang around. So I'm reasonably close to making it. I just got to speak to probably a surgeon again, a couple of people in my trusted circle, and go from there.
And can you give us a leaning at this stage, if possible? You probably can't.
No, well, I probably can't. No, right. But it's only three weeks away, I guess. So you can.
Does your body come into it, like the recovery from your injury?
That is what comes into it. Yeah. If I think I can go around and not be in pain with my foot and not ache, I'll play on. But if there's any little doubt there that I don't think I can get through a year without pain and just sort of starting to resent footy, thinking, waking up aching and walking with a bit of a loser's limp all day and doing more damage to my foot for the rest of my life, well, I won't go on.
Do you have intel on that, BT? Dane Swan?
No. No, I have no idea.
It's interesting. Matty Richardson did a similar injury my first year in 2000, but you're talking about a guy who was 24.
Yeah.
So, and he said it took him 2 years, really, to get back to full fitness. So
my suspicion is he'll play next year.
Yeah, he will, but and Matty Richardson would be a good one to talk to about it. It took him another 12 months to get rid of that pain. So if he's talking about pain next year, I think he's going to have a little bit of that. But it depends on his form, too. Like, if he's playing well and pulling up a little bit sore, well, he loves playing. I thought he would have retired before this. 3 or 4 years ago, you thought. But what is he, 32? Hasn't played this year, so he was playing well before he did this.
He's got another good year in if he can get up the injury.
I think he has, but it'll be interesting. I don't think, but the thing with Brian is, I don't think Collingwood will play in the finals next year. So,
well, if they don't,
that's drastic in itself, Spud, because they have identified 2017 as the high point under Nathan Buckley's plans.
I can't see it, and as I said,
so just those players that are going to be out for the or have been out for most of the year: Swan, Schoenberg, Langdon, Elliott, and there was one other that slips my mind, but there is 5 that have been out for a good portion of the year.
And 2 of them are real good players.
I can't sit here and say they're going to play in the finals next year. To be brutally honest, as I said, I know there's four games to go.
If they don't, it's all cards on the table.
Well,
and
it is.
I think it's a different direction if they don't make the finals.
What's your gut feel?
Oh, my gut feel is if they don't make the finals, things will change.
You've been buoyant about them, BT. I'm detecting in your voice now you are not so.
Boring
about you,
Collingwood?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about them. Big question
That's
mark
That's a change
here at the
even
moment.
From this conversation we had probably 8 weeks ago.
Question mark there at the moment. Last month they beat, they played 4 games, they beat 2 top 8 teams. That sort of says that they've got something there. And then last night they go back to the effort they showed last night. So all I know is that I reckon Buckley and his team have got all of next year to show that they can make finals. I reckon they need to make finals for the plan to continue.
What big scalps have they had, Brian? I know you've got your little game sheet there. Question without
GWS
notice.
They've done well against
West
the top
Coast,
sides.
Geelong.
When you go through them, they Geelong, GWS, West Coast.
Yep. I just look at it. They're going to finish, 13th, 14th?
Yeah.
Somewhere around
12th, 13th.
Yep. About 3 years ago, Purple, the Western Bulldogs, I think, finished somewhere near there.
Yeah.
About 2 or 3 years ago. Yep. But when you looked at the Western Bulldogs, you saw McRae, you saw Hunter, you saw Johannesson, you saw Roughhead, you saw
Wallace,
and you saw Liberatore. You saw this young group of players, and you just said,
they've got something to work with. Yeah. All right, they're finishing 14th.
Yeah.
But you can see this group of 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds who have got... Well, Bondopelli's pick four, so you knew he's a jet.
Yeah.
But those blokes, you just knew were going to drag this club back up pretty quickly.
You're not seeing that.
That's what I don't see, but I'm happy if Nathan Buckley's listening, he's probably chucking stuff at his radio.
I'm sure they could argue that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. What I want to hear from Collingwood is, have you got that group to drive this club quickly back to where you want to be? Because I don't see it, but I don't know their list well enough.
I still think, and I harbour on this, I know, and I'm sorry, but I still think the only thing that Collingwood have done wrong in the last 6 years, I think, is they made the Malthouse decision 2 years too early. They should have let him go for another 2 years, despite the need to appoint Buckley, and then Mick's career is over after 2 years, right? Because what Bucks has come in, and to his credit, he's done it his way, and he's got rid of people that he hasn't wanted and don't feel they're going to fit his particular style. So he's
not to his credit, to his right, I reckon. Yeah. I don't think it's to his credit just yet.
He's put his stamp all over this side. So in the end, you know, if you can't play finals with that side after they were playing in a grand final with the younger side,
when you've chosen to go down this path,
it's
I'd go and get Brian Lake as a part-time defensive coach for next year if I was Nathan Buckley.
So what we're trying to get Spud to understand is that when he goes out in public, Bristol, he represents us.
Yeah, I was.
So you can't just walk around making a complete tool of yourself and not reflect on us.
I'm embarrassed you work with him.
So Wednesday night, the title fight involving our man, Triple M Zone, Danny, the Green Machine, four-time world champ.
Come on, Danny.
He's taking on Watsy, of course. We're all very keen for him to perform well, but win the fight, set up the Monday fight.
Danny offered us tickets. I wanted to go, you wanted to go, but we felt like we'd be in the way.
Leave him to do what he does best.
Watts is a Victorian, so Danny was smart to get a good, solid Victorian boy like myself in his camp.
So Spud talks his way into the entourage.
No, I didn't.
Way into the room.
I was invited.
You invited yourself.
No, I didn't.
And made it awkward for Angelo and Danny not to say yes. So now we want to know what Spud actually did on the night that was of any value at all.
Shocking.
And we're going to the man himself.
Yes,
behaviour.
Danny Green joins us, a four-time world champ on the line. Greeny, welcome.
Good afternoon, boys.
Mate, congratulations on another sensational performance, and you've set up the fight with Mundine, and we'll do all of that because you are a champion, we know that. But can you please tell us and the millions that listen to Triple M Footy, what if anything Spud did to help you on Wednesday night?
Mate, I'm in Perth now. I landed late last night, and I can smell a roasting from over here.
Say it, Danny.
Greeny, what did he do?
Well, his new nickname's Dags Frawley.
That's what I wasn't looking for.
Greeny.
I've got to be honest, boys. I was a little bit. I'll be point blank. I was a bit hesitant with Angelo because Angelo's going right out. My trainer. The best. Right, you're in there, Spud. You're with us. And I was like, okay, no worries. He's in there. He's pretty foreign and new to it. But in all honesty, Spud was. He was actually unreal to have in there. He was very cool, very calm. He said a few cool things. He was just really enjoying the moment, and to have someone who's played footy at the highest level.
Danny.
And to be in there and give them a glimpse of what we do, I guess, at the highest level. It was pretty cool. And Spud was great. In between Ramsey was helping the boys get the drinks and stuff. Spud was a help. Without doubt, it was more of a help than a hindrance. Without doubt.
Green machine.
And we're all very, very inspired to have the big man in there.
Now,
Before you go too far, I just want to play you a bit of audio just before you
this was
lasso Spud too
up,
much.
Spud.
Just have a listen to this. This is not long ago, Danny. Have a listen.
I've had a relationship with Danny Green for 20 years.
No, I'm thinking it's something
he wants
a little
to be
more.
My friend. That's the thing. I thought I was doing the right thing by going in there. He wants to hang around me, and that's fair enough. I've only got a close circle of friends. I've let him in for a few occasions. The next time will be the Mundine fight. I'll invite him in as well.
He wants to be friends with me.
He wants to be my friend.
Granny.
Spud did nothing to change things. He did absolutely stuff.
That's exactly what we know, Greeny.
Don't tip into this crap, Greeny. You're better than that.
What I said stands. Spud, it was cool having you there, mate. Your eyes were lit up. I think you got a bit of a surprise about how much fun we have in there. and kind of how loose and relaxed it is. But when it comes down to business, as you saw,
I was a bit embarrassed. I was a bit embarrassed about the dance green, to be brutally honest. When everyone stood around with the music, it wasn't my finest moment, that one, mate. But it was great to see.
There were folks who didn't have their finest moment. You weren't alone.
Hey, Greeny, I want to know this. You have owned the Square Circle for 20 years, four-time world champion, been in there with some of the toughest men on the planet.
The Green Machine.
The Green Machine. How did you feel as you're really starting to get yourself wound up? And, of course, it's all about adrenaline and presence and awareness and arousal. So you're in the ring, ready to go, and you turn around, and in the same ring as you, a four-time world champ is Spud.
But I got even more aroused.
It was embarrassing to us, Greeny.
Oh, it's just a great segue for the mundane fight, isn't it, Greeny?
Oh, no, please don't invite him for that.
I just want to thank all the people in Melbourne as well for the last month who have shown me such immense hospitality. You know, the crew at Crown Resorts who have just looked after me so well, like it was my own home. I can't thank them enough. And really the city of Melbourne who treats me so well. And, you know, it was a really tough fight, boys. And there's been a bit said about Kane Watts and myself being a bit dirty. Look, Kane Watts was extremely dirty in the fight, but I don't take offence to that. And I did a few dirty things too. I had to protect myself. And I don't take offence to it. I actually respect the fact that he was being dirty to survive. He had to do that to survive. And I respect that because he's a fighter. He's a real fighter.
Yep. Greeny, I do know a little bit about the fighting. Is it fair to say, and I know you don't want to get into it, but the referee allowed that to happen too often because he did have 10 kilos on you and he wanted to turn it into a brawl and you weren't able to get back and just pin him with that left of yours, that jab. So he did fight the fight as a brawler, not a fighter, didn't he?
He had to, mate, and like I said, I respect that. He had to do what he had to do. I was a bit, you know, concerned with the arm wrenching. I can take the behind the head, which we both gave. He put his headbutt in there, and I had to put my head in there to protect my own head at times as well. I can handle that stuff. Throwing each other around, I can handle all that. We both did it, but the arm wrenching in between rounds, it's clearly on Fox 2. You can hear him saying, "Break his effing arm." You can, and his attempt from the round one was to try and break my arm in a clinch in between, which. It's not the best, but, you know, I don't actually worry. It doesn't bother me because it's a fight, so I respect the bloke. Watsy put up a great fight. He had a real dig, and he did exactly what he had to do to survive, and he showed true grit and true warrior spirit. And I really respect that. I put a thing on Facebook today, and people go, "Oh, come on, mate, you're making excuses." No, I'm not making excuses at all. I actually really like the fact that what he did was dirty and rough, and I've done it too. I've been there and done that myself on occasions to either win or to survive, and you have to do it because... Yeah, we've got gloves on, but it's a fight, boys. There's no love lost in there, and I really enjoyed it. And he made it a great special. He gave the fans a great show and was able to hang in there for so long because he ate some punishment too, boys. He gave some good ones out as well. So it was a great show for all, and I hope everyone enjoyed it. And it was, you know, it's obviously great to be victorious and come out with a win and in a good hard fight that the fans...
Hey,
you know,
Danny, I know you've got a few things to work out with regards to where that next fight will be against Mundine. Are you any closer to knowing now?
As of Monday, we sit down, we start to really, really put the throttle on and start, working towards, you know, the end of the year. We want to fight towards the end of the year.
Were you in Melbourne, Danny?
It could be Melbourne, it could be Sydney, it could be Perth. We haven't worked that out yet. We're going
to
sit down.
Just have to get me flights ready, that's all.
Oh, no. Hey, Greeny, we've got to get going. We've got Jared Roughhead to chat to next, but well done. You're an absolute superstar. Wipe Spud like a dirty ass is all we ask, because next time we want to see a proper setup with you involved.
Hey, boys, just quickly, if it takes 20 seconds. And we're asked, I've been asked probably 100 times since the fight, why do we make Kane Watts wait before he came out? The fact is, we didn't know. We're so far in the bowels of the stadium. We can't hear the music playing. We didn't know. We were supposed to come out at a certain time. Foxtel muddled up, and we didn't know we were making anyone wait. We thought we were coming out on time. So there's the answer to that, because I've been asked so many times in the street, why'd you make him wait? We actually didn't have a clue that the song was playing and anyone was in the ring waiting.
All right, Greeny, great chatting to you, mate. Well done, and good luck with the big preparation coming up.
Legend, and Spud, thanks again, mate. You're fantastic.
No, good on you, Greeny. No good, that's no made my day, Greeny. See,
we
I told
Jared,
you guys.
We got your new nickname's Dags, is what we heard.
Wolfpack is alive and well on Twitter at the moment. This one here from Robbo23. Spud says he's an elite athlete, eh? I remember Purple giving him Winburn in a running race.
Yes,
oh, that was about 2 years ago.
This one from
ago.
Chad Bagan. Spud would have been as helpful as a fly screen on a submarine. And this one from Mark. Spud is the new Peter Hoare, serial pest number one. And this one from our own Lindsay.
You're liking this, Brian.
Dags.
And this is a ripper from Lindsay. This is very original. Spud would go to the opening of an envelope.
That's it.
Oh, Gilp. I'll sew me ribs up, Brian. The side split of those, Brian.
Well, that, it all points to you being a major flog.
No, it doesn't.
Mind you, I think Gilp pretty much got it right. It's where you're at, Spud.
Gilp's got it spot.
It doesn't worry me, mate.
What we need to do is introduce the four-time premiership superstar at the Hawthorn Football Club.
And he'll back me up.
One of our absolute favourites on Triple M has been right from the start. Jared Roughhead joins us. Ruff, nice to see you.
Afternoon, Ruffy. Boys.
Now, you and Spud, you go back, of course, when Spud, speaking of dagging, used to down at Hawthorn when he had a great side.
Young fella, 7 and 8.
How have you seen his recent behaviour, Ruff?
Well, I walked in before and he mentioned that, you know, this is, you know me and you should expect this, but from what I've heard and what I've seen, this is a new level. this is like, in a positive way. Oh, mate, if you want to call it that. you hear, you're saying he wanted me round and all this. I don't actually know who'd want you round. Why going into a fight of all things, would you want Danny Frawley in your corner?
Too right you would, Ruffy. You'd see me throw you around.
This is some of the best stuff in this debate, Spud.
No, it's all right. Hey, I respect Ruffy's point of view, so I don't take it on board from you guys because you are
four-time premiership.
Exactly right, and he's a good country boy, so I will accept some of the feedback that Ruffy's given me.
Who do you listen to? You don't listen to us. You don't listen to the Wolfpack. You not listen to Ruff.
Anita. That's the only one I listen to.
She would have pulled your coat too. She would have said, "What the hell are you doing?"
She hasn't spoke to me since Wednesday. She saw a snippet of it. She goes, "You didn't walk out with him, surely?" Oh, no.
Was this a plan, knowing that going into the next fight, you're a chance to maybe walk out with Monday?
There was a little bit in that. But no, he invited me down, and I just thought to see the actual warm up, Ruffy, before the game, and to actually see the game face. Because, you know, you guys go out and you compete as a team. To go out there...
Enough on you, Spud.
Anyway.
We've got Ruff here.
Yeah, no, fair enough. No, anyway, I'll accept your feedback, Ruffy.
Now, Ruff, you're heading for 10 in a row at Hawkland. Have you guys... Has the team come together? You would have heard about it. I don't know whether you've been involved because of your absence, but have they come together as a group, you know, that sort of private meeting you'd have 4 or 5 weeks out from a final and go, righto, now we need to hone in that. We've got ourselves in the position now to attack. Now we need to really come together in a really serious camaraderie.
I think they came together at the bye, I think, 3 or 4 weeks ago and just mentioned the 4 weeks after the bye. We played 3 on the road, 2 Thursday night games, one being in Adelaide, one being in Sydney. And we really needed to try and get those wins to, you know, our percentage isn't great as we've seen. And we just needed to make sure we got as many wins because our talk the last few years has obviously been top four. But as we found out last year, you want to be top two because we had to go to Perth twice last year and try and win finals on the road. You know, you just want to make sure you can win as many games to finish top two and get these home finals, which are very, very important.
Tell us about the forward structure, which interests me. Your absence has led to Gunston to look like he's playing a different role.
Yep.
O'Brien looks like he's a really good kid. Sicily looks like he's a really good kid. But you do it differently at Hawthorn. You haven't got that big power gorilla as a dump-out kick forward of the footy, but it doesn't seem to hurt you.
No, I think definitely the second half of the year, the ruckmen have probably stayed at home a little bit more between Segler and McAvoy. I think McAvoy's kicked close to 20 goals this year, which is a bonus. We haven't got that out of him before. And of course, with Sicily and O'Brien contributing as well, you know, of obviously been there the last few years and been able to kick goals, and we're not expecting them to kick 50 or 60, but if they can contribute 20 or 30 between 3 or 4 blokes, and that goes a long way to helping out the forward line as well.
And aesthetically, O'Brien helps because you've had a real pasty sort of red-headed bloke come out for a while, and then another one sort of slides in. So it goes well with the Hawthorn jumper and that real sort of ugly-looking setup.
Yeah, if you want to call it that. I'd like to think he's a very good-looking bloke, except what happened last weekend with about 4 teeth getting knocked out. And
with his mouth guard on, too. That's unbelievable.
And then had to wear the mouth guard on the plane Melbourne. So I think it happened to Bud a few years ago, and it happened again to him. But, he's got a girlfriend. He doesn't need to worry about looks.
The Brad Hill discussion. You comfortable, Freo? You comfortable with that being public?
Yeah. I mean, he's a... It's not as if he's hiding anything. I guess being a Perth boy and Perth talk, there's always the possibility of these guys going home and The connection with his brother being there, it helps out a fair bit. But, you know, if a kid's homesick and wants to go home, you can't really begrudge him for talking to some people to see if he can possibly go back there.
Ruffy, a lot's talked about your team and your great leaders, but and I think Clarko, at times we sit back and just take it for granted that he's coached four flags. He could be coaching his fourth in a row, mm-hmm. five in 12 years. And I know it's hard for you to comment, but you've seen the whole gambit of when you first started, he started, an improvement, and then to where he is now. Is it just the fact that he gets all the players on side and then he allows the empowerment of the leadership group to go out there? What's his big strength to be able to maintain this intensity of success?
I think especially the last 4 or 5 years, that he's been able to delegate. You look at a lot of coaches come in now, they feel as if they have to almost do everything from every yep. meeting to be on at the session every time. Where Clarko, the last 3 or 4 years, has been able to take a bit of a back seat and focus more on the little things and not have to worry about as much as developing us older guys, where we've been with him for 12 years. He's now allowing us to pass on the knowledge and pass on the instructions of what we do at Hawthorn and not just have to worry about himself doing it every day for every minute. He can rely on us to pass on the knowledge and you know, he can relax a little bit and worry about what he needs to worry about, which is coaching the boys on Saturday.
And Chip Frawley, he's out. His form's been pretty good. I've been watching, and it'd probably taken him, you know, the final series last year to get really the style of play and the way play the Hawthorn yeah. way, and his form was outstanding before he hurt his shoulder this week.
Yeah, similar to Lakey when they first came across, they've obviously got the history of playing yeah. at their old side.
Yeah.
But yeah, a jarred shoulder for him today, which is a bit stiff. But how many times do you reckon Hawthorn games do you bring up, Chip?
Yeah, well said.
Yeah. Very good point, Rocky.
Can't help himself, can he?
If he can't tie it back to you, you want to tie it back to your relative.
They've got 45 players on the list, bud.
Oh, rough. That's too good.
Yeah,
I like it,
fullback.
Purple.
Hey, yeah, how are you faring?
He's a fullback.
How am I faring?
How are you faring, Jared? Yeah.
I'm going all right.
Great, and you obviously still got the treatments to go through, but how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I've had a bit of a up and down patch over the past 2 months, but I think that was to be expected. I guess, you know, it's not going to be smooth sailing. So obviously went away for that little bit, came back, and I've had 2 treatments since then. As I said, you go through some ups and downs, but the last couple of weeks have been pretty good, being able to get back out to the footy club a bit more and start doing some things that I haven't been able to do, which is good.
And you're playing basketball, we hear, sort of semi-regularly, at least when you roll up at the footy club?
I don't know. The boys, there's a fair bit going on with the basketball at the moment. It seems to be more basketball than touching the footy, which is interesting. But when you can get out there and have a bit of fun, mate, amongst the boys, I can't hit anyone, so I might as well try and school them in a different way.
So with the treatments you're on, Ruff, how long is the time of that? Is it like 6 months more?
When I go in?
How much longer are you on this particular?
I'm only 8 weeks through. So,
and it'll go for how long?
The plan is 12 months.
Okay.
The initial first 12 weeks are a couple of drugs that go in, and then after that there's one for the next 9 months. So at the moment it's every 3 weeks, and then I think it goes to every 2 weeks after that. But we've got we'll have another scan, I guess, at 12-week mark and see where it's all at, and hopefully we'll make some decisions after that.
And do they knock you around, the effects of the drug in question?
Some can, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is the immune-based one, so, it can get you in different ways, and each person's different. So there is little side effects here and there, but, you know, you're dealing with them and not really... It's not affecting me too much.
So are you able to do any physically what you want to do outside of that? So if you want to go and do a session in the gym or...
I can do sessions in the gym. I can't probably do as much running and stuff out on the field as much as what I'd like. Probably since maybe 6 weeks ago, I haven't been able to do as much. Like I thought I'd be able to just do the treatment and be able to train. But, you know, through little effects, I haven't been able to do that, which is... bit frustrating because, you know, that's all you've known for 12 years. Your routine's training every day, and when that's kind of taken away, a bit of a release is taken away, I guess, so it makes it tough. But I mean, when you get to hang out with the boys every day, that makes it a bit better.
And obviously affected your ability to call your mates.
Call my
a
mates.
Bit too, yeah. Yeah. You know, text them and that.
Well, all I get from you is if someone's on the footy show, you want banter. So it's really one way.
One way.
Well, it's yeah. Been, but it's yeah. been one way sort of for a long time, really, because that's the sort of bloke you are. You sort of don't ring blokes and text and that.
Would you put Jim in your bracket of mates? I wouldn't have thought you would you?
He reckons
Quains.
Jim, he always Dags. Talks you up, Ruffy.
Dags.
Dags, yeah. Moves into Hawthorn. Finally says, I'm in Hawthorn. Yeah.
You've got a bit of...
I only found this out 2 weeks ago. You're in Hawthorn.
Well done, Ruffy.
Don't you even start.
He only speaks to you if you're in the inner
suburbs. Yeah, that's right.
Obviously, if you're only playing, by the sounds of it.
He's got a bit of KD about him. A bit of Kevin Durant about him.
Oh, you reckon? Just whoever's on the top, that's who he hangs around with.
When it comes to the pluses and minuses over the 12 years, you look me in the eye and say that I am owed so much by you. Oh. When am I going to see something? Just something.
Don't fall for it.
The most recent text message I got from you, you referred back to yourself again to cricket yesterday. If I do recall, it was about cricket. Similar to what I looked like back in the late 90s out on the Adelaide Oval. Yeah. Did you or did you not say this?
Keep going, Ruffy. He was talking about how bad we were going in Sri Lanka. I said they need someone who can play spin bowling.
Like who?
Might have mentioned myself.
Yeah.
Might have spoken.
There's only you and me left, mate.
Well, I'm not sure about you because... I'm not sure about you because didn't you say something as you walked in about the appearance of someone?
How's it look, Ruffy?
What do you reckon about the bont?
How's it look, Ruffy?
Spud's taking the attention away from you this week, isn't he?
It's a little bit lighter than it was a couple of weeks ago.
It is.
Anyway, all good there, Ruff.
Good luck with everything for you.
Yeah, on Ruffy.
On a serious note, as we always say, great mate of ours, and we know you're going well, and that's great to hear. And good luck today with the Hawks.
Thanks, boys. You have
good
a good
on
call.
Ruffy.
Jared Ruff, heads of beauty. There's some nice interest on Twitter and the Wolfpack, of course, getting around today. And Spud, I'd imagine, Purple.
A lot of love for Jared Ruff here, Jim. It's coming through very powerfully at the moment. But amongst all that love for Jared is a tweet from Kane Pettifer, who we discussed earlier in the show. He fought on the undercard of Danny Green the other night. And Spud alluded, even actually accused him of maybe having a result preordained. But Kane has tweeted in. Spud gave me a few tips in the change rooms fight too.
No. So he's wandering from room to room now.
Yeah, well,
did you really?
Well, he probably didn't take enough thoughts from me when he played at the Tigers, that's for sure. Especially when we ran around the tan, when I beat him about a minute and a half, and I'm 15 years older than him, I thought...
Again, making it about himself. He's referred back to a run around the tan.
He was nearly an All-Australian at Richmond.
Completely lost the plot.
1 year.
Kane was.
Mm. Maybe under Terry. But which year? Maybe Terry got the best out of him.
Which year?
So Spud's
he was on the shortlist at once, though.
Was he?
Just wandering down the hallway and saying, which fighter's room will I go
to
now?
I'll just wander into you and tell you how to go about it.
I'm Mr. Fighter. I'm a kung fu fighter.
Tell you what, Brian.
The Olympics, Russell?
Now, the Olympics underway today. And
great outfits, by the way, by the Australians.
So why aren't they Australian, though? Why aren't they wearing an Akubra or something? It's just ridiculous, Spud. Shorts and thongs would have been good. By the way... Just speaking of the Olympics, don't I?
Yes.
I don't know whether you saw this, but I think I saw this. Mm-hmm. An AFL media operator,
right?
Connected to a club. In fact, he's employed. He's employed by a club,
right?
As a media operator.
Yep.
I think I noticed him in the march, right? In the Australians coming into the stadium at Rio.
How?
First of all, before the march got underway,
Brian.
I think he was told that he wouldn't be part of the march.
You got to name names, BT.
Who is it, Brian?
He said said to him, "You have been front and centre too often. You are just an official."
What's he doing over there? If he's employed by a
footy
club,
he's in charge of media for a particular
which club?
There's
the
many
hoops.
Media liaison officers,
not the
Jim, in the under the AOC banner. There's lots of media operators, and
so
I
he's
think
left
Brian's
a footy club to go and be a part of the Olympics. So
well,
right,
as chief executive officers leave during the within a season,
to work for someone else.
Well, who are you referring to, BT?
Who is it?
Kevin Dickerson.
Oh!
From Geelong.
Oh, no.
I don't know where he's from.
Oh, he's from Geelong.
It
be
looked
careful,
like
Brian.
He was in the march after being told that it wasn't so much about him being in the march
anymore.
Have you
got proof of this?
Well, I think I saw him.
You work at Channel 7.
Now, if that is him...
You need to get Channel 7
he
the tape.
He needs to have a very good look at himself. Because you can't be marching if it's
not
about the
athlete.
Athletes. It's not about the, you know, the groupies.
Well, I can't comment on that at the moment.
He's just very, very strange. He has marched several times in the past years. And as a result of being overexposed in the march,
so he's been banned.
He's been told to just back off.
And he still went
though. Do you reckon you saw him today?
And I believe he's defied team orders and he's gone again today.
Come on,
Digger. Come on. Jesus. It's about Bogut and these... Come on.
Diggerson.
What sport is he looking
basketball.
After? Oh, I see. Righto.
Basketball.
That interests me, Purple, that you can have a footy club employee mid-season.
Yeah. Especially this time of year.
To work for someone else.
Leading into the finals.
I hadn't even looked at it that way. I know he's done several Olympics in the past and is one of the very good operators in that space, BT.
I'll repeat. I think I...
No, come on, Brian. He's backing out. Come on, Brian. Don't reverse now, mate.
Who has lit the torch, by the way?
Was it Pele?
Got any knowledge of who...
Well, Pele said he wasn't going to even go. I think the torch has been just lit, but I don't know who it was.
So,
it doesn't look like Pele. No. He said he had a prior engagement, which is staggering when you think this is...
Brazil.
And he's the greatest athlete, greatest soccer player ever. And he said he had a prior engagement. Something's going on.
It's like you when the mundane fights come up saying to Greeny, no. The Green Machine, I'm sorry, Green Machine, I've got a prior engagement.
No, I reckon it's like you. I reckon Pele's got a cashie somewhere. This is for the love of the country.
So he's not going to light the Olympic torch because he's got a cashie?
No, I'm not putting Pele in that. I'm putting Brian in that. Brian would. Brian would have to make a hard decision.
Chuff off to Perth recently, did we, Spud? With a briefie?
No, that was for Country Victoria. West Australian country teams.
Briefcase filler.
No, it wasn't, Brian.
I'm told wouldn't let you back on the plane. The briefcase was too heavy.
No, it was fine. It was all for West Australian country. As you know, Wagen JV was down there.
Yeah, I do know.
Beautiful territory belt. Down there. Yeah, exactly. Wheat belt country.
Speaking of the extracurricular stuff in that space, BT, the hair colouring you clearly did have a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
the next day, no, 2 days later, you were spotted. I didn't see it with my own eyes, but you were spotted at the AFL when they were filming a Toyota ad. We saw Daisy Pierce there. We saw those guys who do those Toyota ads. I didn't see it myself,
Brian.
But I have reliably told you were there.
You were there, Brian.
I'm putting it to you. You got the hair coloured for this ad.
You did, Brian. On the Monday morning. Oh.
There's a couple of facts here.
Yeah.
Number one, I didn't get it coloured.
Right.
And number two, I was there at the AFL house, yes.
Yeah.
Were you in the ad?
What ad?
This Toyota ad or Amy ad.
I don't know.
Oh. You don't know. So what is the theme of the next ad?
If you don't know, no one else does. I don't know.
What I can tell you.
You don't know.
And your hair was coloured.
Come on, Brian.
Vandalay Cordero.
Who?
Lit the torch.
Yeah, do we know who is this?
No, well, Pele cracked. The Brayson Brits.
Yeah, marathon runner. He's a marathon runner.
He did.
Brian, you don't know. but
you did get your hair coloured for that commercial.
But I didn't.
No,
did.
It does.
And the next day, I reckon you guys regretted attacking me savagely.
No, we didn't.
Because
we didn't.
You looked at it and you went,
no.
Shit, I think we got
that
wrong.
No, it's very different to what it was 2 weeks ago.
Brian.
Were you there coloured. Shooting an ad?
I don't know.
Well,
it was Daisy Pierce and a couple of Toyota guys.
You are one of the greats, Bristle. Michael Roberts, a former State of Origin player, of course, for Victoria, is down on the ground, going to be helping us out all afternoon. Robbo, welcome to you. You've got a special guest.
I certainly do. I've got the coach of Melbourne standing right next to me, Paul Roos. Kanga just walked in with Jesse Hogan. Very disappointed he's been left out of that side. Swollen knee, smashed into the point post last week. Hasn't come up. Fitness test no good. So, it gives a chance for Pedersen.
Yeah, it does. I mean, Jesse was disappointed. He sort of gave me every opportunity. But at this time of year, you don't take too many risks, no matter, I suppose, what your ladder position is. So once we thought that he wouldn't be able to play at his best, Pedersen's been playing well in the seconds, and he's obviously had a history of playing well for us as well. Also, gives us another option in the ruck and another forward option as well.
Sam Wiedemann, debuting today, famous name in footy, Roosie.
Yeah, it's a great story. He's a really good kid, great family, and it's always exciting telling a young boy he's playing his first game. And again, he's another one that comes in on the back of some really good form. Played a super game last week against Coburg in the VFL. And yeah, I think we're all excited as a footy club to see how he goes.
Rosie, you must be wrapped with Jack Watts' form this year, and even last year, to be honest. He's now come of age. He's got that, well over 100 games under his belt, but... you know, to win a clutch game like last week, you know, in the past, Melbourne probably would have lost that. But to see Jack stand up, kick the goal, and then go back behind the ball and mark it in defence, you must be wrapped with his form.
Yeah, absolutely, Spud. I mean, you're right. I think there's some really good signs last year. Probably didn't have quite the consistency, but certainly had some really good, some high games last year where he was a terrific player for us. I think finishing off in the seconds, yeah, the last round 23 last year, probably didn't hurt him, and he really attacked pre-season. By far his best season, by far his most consistent, and last week he was the difference between winning and losing. And you're right, I mean, they're the games we probably would have lost in the past. I think, you know, it's exciting for the club, exciting for the player group to get the eighth win for the season, and hopefully it keeps them energised for the next 4 weeks.
I love the risks he takes with the footy, Roosie, especially by foot. I was at the game last week just as a spectator, and late in the game, he bit off a beautiful 45-degree ball into the centre and sat it beautifully out in front of the running player. He's one of the few that can do that in your team, and that's across the comp as well. Do you, as his coach, just say, because you kick it so beautifully, take bite off whatever you think you can chew?
Yeah, look, he's a really good decision maker as well. So often you don't have to actually tell those guys where to kick it, because he's a beautiful kick and a great decision maker. But certainly when we put him behind the ball, he looked like the guy that was going to break the game open as well, because he does get you into good spots. And look, he's an elite kick and elite decision maker in the competition. And certainly last week he showed that he does make a difference with ball in hand.
Paul, I know the official debrief on the season comes in a month's time and the exit interviews happen then. But as you enter round 20 with the 8 wins, as you said, and the last week being a good one of those 8, how do you assess 2016 in terms of where you wanted it to go at the start of the year?
Yeah, it's a good question. I guess what we spoke about when I first took over was improvement, you know, continual improvement over the three-year period and pushing towards, you know, an opportunity to play finals and a sustained period of success. So I think we've sort of ticked a lot of boxes, you know. We've turned the list over a lot. There's been 30-odd players turned over. We've got a really young team, and that probably only struck me the other day when one of our stats guys presented the sort of stats to me before I went on the show on Monday night, that we're a really, really young team. I think 12 of 18 weekends this year we've been the youngest team, and 16 of our 18 games we've been younger than our opponents. So we're still very much in the development phase, but I think the list is high-quality list. The coaching group, the succession plan is going to be really successful. So, look, I think it's an exciting period for the footy club coming up over the next sort of 3 to 5 years.
And yourself, just with the four matches as we speak remaining for you in this latest stage of your coaching career, do you at all get nostalgic about the potential this is the last four games you're coaching footy?
Not really. It's hard to, because you're on the weekly sort of cycle of doing reviews and previews and talking to players and all those sorts of things. So look, but I'm really excited about the four games. You know, we've got some really tough games, some really good quality teams starting with today. So that's probably the exciting part of it, just to see how we go, you know, today against a really good side, see how far we have developed and the opportunities it presents our players.
Hawthorn playing against them, best kicking side in the competition, Roosie. How do you plan? Can you counter against that?
Yeah, they are definitely. They've got a game style at the moment that's. They certainly slow the tempo of the game. They're beautiful kicks, so they're able to control the game. And if you let them control the game, it's very, very hard to beat them. So in some ways, you've got to try and create some chaos and try and get the game a little bit more up and down. So hopefully we can. Yeah, use the ball a lot better than we did last week. If we kick the ball back to them today, it's going to be really hard, because they'll have the ball for the majority of the game. If you can control the ball yourself and take the opportunities when they present themselves, then you've got more of a chance. But they certainly, look, they're a great team. They've got really great leaders. They step up in big moments. And that was probably the difference the last time we played them, that just in the big moments of the games that they're leaders, they're good players, step up. And probably I saw it against the Swans a couple of weeks ago when they played, last week against Carlton. So that's been the theme. And, yeah, that's certainly the challenge when you play against them.
Hey, Roosie, good luck. Big stage, of course, against the reigning Premier. I reckon you'll be really looking forward to it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Paul Roos with Robbo down on the boundary. And now, Murray Wiedemann, the grandfather of the young fella playing today, you and Spud caught up with him earlier on today and had a chat. We're looking forward to hearing from him, because one of the great names in footy. Yes. Not now. We could do it after the break.
We are. Legend. Absolutely. He's a ripper. Football royalty too, Murray. He's a great fellow. I think he's about 80 years of age now. And
did the lot, Brian,
he's
didn't he?
Very, very proud of seeing his grandson play here today. Of course, his son, Mark, played for Collingwood as well.
It is Melbourne, Hawthorn, MCG, And we can't wait for that, of course. And a young man debuts who carries a very strong surname today, Brian, for the Melbourne Football Club.
Yep, Sam Wiedemann,
Sam Wiedemann. And explain to the listeners everywhere exactly what his grandfather represented to footy.
Well, his grandfather was just football royalty. I mean, that's the best way of summing it up. He was captain of the 1958 Premiership side when the captain pulled out through injury.
For Collingwood?
Yes, for Collingwood. Yep. He was a star player, played a couple hundred games there. Best and fairest, Copelands. You know, he's done it absolutely all. AFL Hall of Fame. He's just one of the... He was the Buddy Franklin of his day, if you like. He was
debonair,
that good.
BT, sort of,
debonair, yeah. Great looking bloke, yep. Showbiz, you know, the ladies loved him and the whole thing. He had it all. He had the football and the off fields as well. He was way before his time, there's no doubt about that. And of course, his grandson is playing and debuting for Melbourne. Now, Collingwood had the opportunity to take him in the draft. They bypassed him. Murray wasn't, I would have thought, all that happy about it. But nevertheless, he's grateful he's got his chance.
Well, he plays today, and you and Spud earlier on today caught up with the legend Murray Wiedemann.
Murray, what a day for you with your grandson Sam playing his first game for the Demons today.
Yes, I haven't spoke to him this morning, but I told him to get up and go for a bit of a walk. And I'm staying at Brett Grimley's place, and Cherie's just cooked me breakfast, so I'm all happy and ready to go.
What would you say to Sam if you had the opportunity this morning, Murray?
I know there's nerves there. There's probably more nerves in me than at the moment than is in him, but he's a kid that's a mature kid, and I think he'll handle it pretty well.
Is he a bit like yourself, Murray? Does he like getting in there and throwing his weight around?
I don't think he's doing what his grandfather does.
Now, Murray, will you just watch the game with a few bottles of red today, just swinging in the alleys, or how will you watch it?
I'm sitting in the Hall of Fame seats up on the... I will go and probably have a red at half-time just to steady the nerves.
Nerves, yeah.
Because you've got to feel for kids who are playing their first game, whether they don't get a touch of the ball in the first quarter or all of that. But, I'm pretty good at it. I can go and watch a game and not get upset. I just wish him all the best.
In a sentence, Murray, what can you tell us about Sam as a footballer? What's his strengths?
Oh, he's high-marking. He's not physically strong yet because he's only turned 19 and... He's got to build up, as I did as a young kid. I was only 12 and a half stone and as a kid and 6'1". But I went to a gymnasium, and that's what I've advised him later, and build your body up. That's all you got to do.
Now, Murray, you were a man. You had fists of fury. You did a bit of wrestling. You were a big-time wrestler while you were playing football. Spud tried to run the whole show at the Danny Green fight the other night. Do you reckon you could handle Spud and give him a little left uppercut into the bread basket?
I get a little bit, because I turned 80, as you realise, and I do get a little still bit carried away, you know, with the bubble. Do you want to fight? Do you want? No, really, I don't, but I could handle it. But no, I couldn't handle Spud. Don't worry about that.
Murray, you have a great day today watching your grandson. This is an incredible achievement, and well done to you, and congratulations to Sam.
Yeah, thanks very much, Brian and Spud.
Brilliant. Murray Wiedemann speaking about his grandson, and what a great thrill that must be for him to watch on today.
Changes today, Jim, as we know, Jesse Hogan out for Melbourne and James Foley out for Hawthorn, and they introduced their sixth debutant for the season in the name of Kurt Heverley. He's a born and bred New Zealander, BT. Been really good the last couple of weeks in the VFL. But
that would be up there with the most number of debutants for any club this year, I reckon.
And they sit top of the ladder, two games clear, Amazing. And it's extraordinary. So he adds his name to Caden Brand, to Blake Hardwick, Kieran Lovell, Mark Pitney, and Cade Stewart to make his debut in this season in which this club is attempting to win three premierships in a row. It is quite extraordinary.
I think Richmond and Collingwood both had six debutants as of last night, so that would be right up there, I would thought.
You'd have to think no premiership winning team would have had six in the 1 year, I would think. So if they
contrasts strongly with last year, doesn't it, where they had such a settled team virtually for the whole year, and were able to, you know, just keep picking the same team and had that great experience core. They are a phenomenal footy club, Hawthorn. The way they operate is just best practice. It really is. And they've got this magnificent structure where they are able to bring people in, Brian, and take them out, and they still, you know, function so efficiently. It is incredible.
That's the debutants on top of the inexperienced players who you mentioned before, like an O'Brien and a Sicily, who haven't got much more experience than some of these guys who are playing in their first seasons of football. So,
mind you,
when you add those names to the six, it's extraordinary.
It is extraordinary, given they're at the top end. But I reckon there's probably a reason for the extraordinarious, if you like, if there's such a word, Damo, which there's not, is that they are going to lose four absolute guns at the other end of the spectrum.
At some stage.
Yeah. Probably nearly all at once. Because if they all play next year, which I'm thinking they might, they won't all play the year after.
I still feel there's a bit to play out on that front with the next year component to it, BT. We know that Mitchell is locked away. We seemingly know that... We do know that Josh Gibson will also be there. But the Burgoyne and Hodge one, while publicly everything's being said in a positive way about next year, and I'm like you, I think they now will, having thought otherwise maybe even recently a few weeks ago, but I still think there's a little bit to play out. I still think the last four games and the finals and injury to particularly Hodge maybe could still come into play. But I think they do go around, but then they've got Jordan Lewis to be added
play forever
to that. That's the thing. That's what BT's saying.
And just to back it up, they've won, well, it could be four in a row, so no one ever thought it'd ever happen again. So the Hawthorn supporters have been absolutely blessed. I was with someone the other day, his son's nine, and he'd seen four premierships.
It's almost too young, though, isn't it? You'd rather be about
23.
Yeah, I was listening to Ruffy before. He said he's been there 12 years, and I'm thinking, well, four of those have been premierships.
And a losing grand final.
Losing grand final.
There as
so
well.
For one third of his career, he's known nothing but grand finals.
Yeah. Yep.
Sure.
And you can add a good slab of the Geelong players to that same sentence, can't you? They played in four and won three and had that incredible... You know, patch where they just won, I think, close to 90% of the games they played in.
One stage,
so,
one period,
you know, if you then go and ask someone who plays for St Kilda or the Western Bulldogs, you know, how that feels. I mean, it's just, they've won one in the history of the club, which is over 100 years. Mm. I mean, it is just extraordinary.
Well, they've got to be hard today because Melbourne hit them hard. I'm just watching some vision coming through from the internal monitors here we get in our commentary box of the Hawthorn rooms. And there's a few smiles, you know, from players down there and a bit of skylarking and that sort of thing. I tell you what, even if you are on top of the ladder, if you come out with a soft frame of mind, even though we know you're not soft, but a soft frame of mind, a team like this can really get hold of you.
Jim Majak Dorr returns tonight in the absence of Jared Waite, who does have his future in question given the latest surgery or procedure on his hip. It gives Dorr the chance, though, doesn't it, to spend these 4 weeks leading into the finals, and his big pitch is also up for debate too, isn't it, Majak?
Yep, but I like it. I don't like not having Waitey playing, for obvious reasons, but I like Madge coming in because I think it takes a lot of the stress off Goldie, who, if Madge isn't there, has to ruck for upwards of 90% of the game. And then you've got to drag Ben Brown out of the forward half, and I think he's been brilliant this year.
Yeah.
And I like him staying there permanently, so he's got to come out and give him a chop out. So the balance of having Madge in there, and he'll ruck a lot more than Ben Brown would, will mean that Goldie can actually push forward, where I think he gets really dangerous, but he is 60% rather than 90.
Yep.
So I actually like the balance of that. I like the pressure Madge puts on. The only issue for Madge is the brain fades that happen from time to time, but I reckon we've just got to cop that a bit with him. He's got genuine X factor, and I reckon this month will tell us a lot.
Why have North Melbourne been reluctant to play him in consecutive games and just say to him, okay, you've got a block of games here, we're going to give you these three games in a row no matter what happens? Is there a reason for that?
The reason is Waite, Brown, Petrie, Ford, and then Goldstein, you're then too big. So it's a case of, well, one of them's come out now, so he will get that block.
Jared Waite, is it fair to say, JB, that he's a player, and every club has one or two of them, that they almost have a need to be 100% fit before they can play? They can't play unless they are 100%.
Probably. And on the weekend, he got dinged early in the game, and then we saw him trying to kick on the left foot because his right had stopped working. And so, you know, maybe. Mm. We forget how good his first 10 weeks were.
Yeah. I mean, he was the leading forward in the comp.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So when he's up and about, he is phenomenal. Wellesley's a bit like that too. You know, Daniel, when he's 100%, I think he's in the best five players in the comp. And everyone sort of goes, oh, come on. You know, the impact he has on games when he's 100% fit, Daniel, it puts him for me in the... in the top five most dangerous, you know, players.
Well, his first quarter
football
last week was just
electric, and his skill and his ability to get it in tight and then get outside. You know, Dangerfield for me is about the only other player who's got that balance in their game, who can win it and then get it on the fly and really hurt. So, you know, but he's a bit the same. If he's not 100% Wellesley, he finds it hard to absolutely get the optimum out of himself. But really pleased that he is 100% at the moment, or very close. Because for us to, getting back to your point, for us to have a really, really strong September purple, I think Wells and Goldstein are absolutely vital. So,
and Jared Waite, though, I think he's a big one too. And I don't,
yeah, but he'll get a spell and come back through. So, you know, hopefully by the first final, you'll have those two in really good shape and Waite able to be selected.
It'll be interesting to get Dr. Rowan White on. The time's going to be the big thing with Jared Waite, having a hip operation, and we don't know, you know, hopefully it's only just a little minor labral tear.
Well, that's what they say, and it was a very successful operation,
Which
and
is good.
They got in and fixed what needed to be fixed, so they're very bullish about it.
Yeah, and that's good. That's good news, but there's still the option. It's not ideal having an operation 4 weeks going into the finals with a player that's, and as I said, his form first 8 rounds, he's the number one ranked player in the comp, so you need him out there.
I don't think you can pick him though, Spud, if you get through until round 23 without him coming back. Is that fair to say? The risk in reintroducing him for a final, given what's happened to him in the past two matches when he's tried to get through.
Well, it'll be a VFL. He's still playing when, you know, round 23, we can get a VFL game under his belt. Because
you're referring to the trust factor.
I think there's
a question mark there too.
Yeah. Just getting through the game. That's
The last two times he's tried to, he has. And I just think with Brad Scott, I'm trying to put myself in Brad Scott's shoes here, but I don't think I could pick him on what we've seen in the last two times he's tried to play.
All I'll say with Waite, and I hear what you're saying, is if you're very confident that he's physically okay, for me, he comes straight into a final because his finals record is unbelievably good.
Could you be very confident?
Well,
that's where I'm coming from.
But if you are and your medical staff go, he is absolutely fine, then I would pick him straight up because his ability to execute in finals is unbelievable.
Well, last year being the example final where he kicked multiple goals in those two finals wins.
Unbelievable.
I like the final, but round 23 could be a game where it's percentage for a spot. So it's a big one for the coaching staff to think, gee, do we put him in? Because the finals is all on the line, but if you actually win that round 23 game and happen to get a top four spot,
if he's available for 23, you're playing because you want to find out they're not in the finals.
Bristol, Ben Brown.
I'd rather get top four.
I'm interested in picking your brains on this
North
young
Melbourne
man.
Won't be in the position for top four.
They
though,
might be. You never know.
I want to ask you this. Ben Brown.
Slim chance.
Got Hawthorn, Sydney, GWS.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, if they don't beat, they've got to beat him, mate.
And
they're going to play him in the finals.
Got to keep winning. I want to talk to you about, ask you about Ben Brown, because for me, I think it's a great tick for Bryce Lewis and the recruiting staff, who saw something in this bloke as a mature age player in the VFL.
Yes.
So everyone had a good look at him. They picked him, developed him, and I think his season has been absolutely fantastic.
He's had a great year, and he looks like a real promising one for the future, JB. Boy, I see him really taking over from Drew Petrie and making it his own. I just think he's waiting for the opportunity to be the number one sort of man in the forward end. At the moment, he's the number two or three, depending on whether Waite's playing, and he likes playing that role. It's a bit of an apprenticeship for him, but I really do see strong hands, leads and presents up at the ball magnificently, is a really uncomplicated kick. He just goes back
and he
just kicks goals. There's a lot to like about him. I love the way he leads at the ball and he can mark overhead. He's going to be an absolute gun.
All right, we're going to watch that game with interest. I know you're doing it for the Seven Network tonight, the Western Bulldogs and North Melbourne. The Dogs banged up, but I still love them.
It's a good 22 they've got tonight.
Exactly right. And
got a few good players back.
They go about it in such an honest way. It'll be a cracking game of footy, that one. Hey, the 10-metre rule is of interest. Last night, anyone watching...
Yeah, I did.
I said to Nick Revol during the call, Spud, my issue with... I love the rule, by the way. I love
what
it's done to footy and the fact that you can move the ball quickly, laterally, so I love it. But I just can't help but think that the umpiring fraternity are picking and choosing with when they want to enforce it, because we saw a couple last night of players, including Mason Cox, who's 18-foot, just walking through there and nothing, and then Jack Revolt gets pinged and it's a shot on goal. It's a frustrating interpretation.
Well, it's those two interpretations the one I was frustrated with, because Jack Revolt, the umpire in the letter of the law didn't say play on, but he saw the guy just move off his line a bit. And you think, okay, that he's encroached the area. But then, as you said, a quarter before that, you see Mason Cox, who his shadow you could see was in the 10-metre, let alone himself. So there's just no consistency. And just beware, Luke Ball and Hayden Kennedy. The coaches are all over it because they coach this fastidiously during the week about the 10-metre rule when they have, you know, some mock practice. You've just got to get it right because I would hate to see a final won on an adjudication that had some grey area in it. So let's just get it right.
I think the other area too, just on last night's evidence, and I think that has crept in, Jim, in the last 6 or 7 weeks, has been the adjudications on the 15-metre kick. Yep. I reckon four or five that I can recall, Spud, that were not 15 metres and not called, and they were, as in they were called marks. And I just think, you know, when Hawthorn was fortunate enough to get some decisions go its way against St Kilda back in round whatever it was.
Have a look at that. That was two kicks in a row that were over 15.
At a crucial stage of a game, and now they're just letting, you know, 8, 9, 10 metre kicks be paid as 15. I think they need to fasten up on that one too.
Now, I watched the footy show on Thursday night, very good show, and you mentioned something about Hurley, which, as I said, I'm down there at a very minimal basis, but you linked Hurley to St Kilda. Is that any validation?
I linked him from the point of view that the feeling in the industry, the footy industry, is that he either stays at Essendon or goes to the Bulldogs. I do know that St Kilda, your team, Spud, is actively trying to get themselves involved in it, and it's basically via a good rapport that Alan Richardson has with Hurley from his time as an assistant coach. And I think there's a bit about Carlisle being used in the Saints' sell for this as well. I still think they're behind the Bulldogs in the brokering on it. But if the Bulldogs thing falls through and he chooses to leave Essendon, they want to at least get themselves into that position where they will be the next cab off the rank.
Well, he's a star. As I said, I'm very biased. But he's a guy that's got speed. He's tough. He uses the ball well. And he can flip forward. I think he's one of the best centre-half backs in the competition. I've got no doubt in that. Even fullback, and that's, they're hard to come by. You know, he's, 25, the 7 year. He's coming into his best football. He's obviously had a pretty good summer over in Europe, he'll get back into nick, no doubt. He's a star.
Look, returns late next week, I think it is, and he's then got a very quickly,
is
I feel.
Is he a restricted free agent?
Well, no, he's actually contracted, which is the other impediment to any club wanting to get him.
So he's in contract next year?
Yeah, okay. He is. The Bombers have actually offered him a fresh deal on top of that, but the fact he is contracted, as it stands, with documents lodged with the AFL, is going to make it difficult. But you know my views on it, Spud. I feel that any player from Essendon in this situation that wanted to break a contract on the back of this guilty finding in the courts on a workplace matter will allow that player, should he choose to, and there will be difficulties attached to it, but should he choose to, will get clear passage.
And what was Hooker reportedly signed up for? Because, as I said, I like Cale Hooker, but in my opinion, I think Hurley's a better player.
Look, from memory on that, it was up in the 800,000 range. That's just the memory of it.
John Worsfold's Purple is on record, in fact, said on the footy show that if any of those 11 players or whatever the number is came to him and said, I want to move, they wouldn't stand in his way.
Okay.
They said, we will get a deal.
You got
we'll
that question.
Do our best to get a deal, but he is actually quoted as saying, we won't force them to stay if they don't want it.
I think that'll be another case of say one thing in a footy sense publicly. Think? Oh, they're not going to just say, okay, you want to go, do you? Okay, let's go.
No, but they'll obviously crunch the deal hard with whoever he wants to go to.
No, I know, but that they will be reminding him he's got a contract already.
It's interesting because I think John Worsfold has and Integrity are very comfortably sitting in the same sentence. So I reckon if he has said that, he would say to a Hurley, if he wanted, if he came back and said, I just can't see myself playing here.
Yep.
I want to move. He'd say, well, okay,
we'll
be brutal in the deal, we won't force you to stay if you don't want to, is how I interpret it.
Yeah, okay. I feel there'll be a real, you're ours already, and good luck trying to break your contract on him. And again, let's see how it plays out. But look, again, there's still people at Essendon who are convinced that when he does get back next week that he's going to say he's going to stay. So I haven't ventured into the space, do I think he's going to go or not? I think it's 50-50 and has been all year, even at this late stage. Yeah, Presti, everyone's interested, including the Saints, Spud, but Hawthorn have added him to the Tom Mitchell project they've added him to the list of players they've wanted to get. And they met with him 2 weeks ago when he was in Melbourne.
He's definitely coming back to Melbourne?
Almost definitely.
Okay. And O'Meara?
O'Meara still yet to give any indication to anyone what he's doing, but I feel he's out.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.